4341790, the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. There were two comments that I wanted to share with you. One said that by law, police are required to have probable cause. Most stops are proven to be illegal. These illegal stops are the direct result of profiling. That's from the Barbadian in New York, who was a former member of the Royal Barbados Police Force. And a former member of the Royal Barbados Police Force here in Barbados said, the police can use the term suspicions. Suspicion that you have committed an offense or a routine driver's license check. And that's about asking you to produce your license. The Barbadian in New York who said the result of profiling, I am well aware personally of that. Back when I had hair, I went to Fort Lauderdale on business many years ago. And because I liked the sea and because the place I was staying was close to a marina, and I looked at a wide expanse of sand that would strew about the width of Brandon plus the two, all the lanes on the Mighty Griner Highway. So it was a wide expanse of sand. I decided to take a walk across the sand to see what this great sea and ocean looked like up close. Halfway across the sand, the motorcycle came barreling down the sand, and an officer with tear gas canister and nightstick and two-way radio and everything else got off the bike. It was a female officer, by the way. Took off the helmet, put it down on the bike, and approached me and spoke to me in Spanish and told me to get off the beach. I spoke in English, and I said I was a visitor from Barbados and that I was staying at the hotel across the road and that I will go back there. Lady said to me, you speak English well. You look like a Haitian or a Cuban. Do you have an ID? Of course, I didn't have one because my passport was across at the hotel. But they followed me back to make sure that that's where I was registered and did look at my passport. And just because she said I looked like a Cuban or a Haitian, I wasn't doing anything suspicious. I was walking on the beach at about 6 o'clock and it was bright. But, so, profile or not, well, yeah. That was my brush with it back then. Thankfully, I wasn't slammed into the sand or anything. But that's what happened. So I understand profiling. I understand suspicious activity. I understand that Cubans and Haitians came by raft. You know, I suppose somebody would tell me, well, you should not be on the beach at 6 o'clock. You should be in your hotel, minding your own business. So, yeah. Oh, well. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm trying to make a report here. Since 2 weeks ago, my daughter called Light and Power to be pulled by her house. Sparkles when that rainfall, when we had that shower. Last night, she called Tuesday. Last night, again, it started to sparkle again, and it was worse. And she called in the park at 1 o'clock this morning. She has two children in the house. And nobody responded to her at all. Calling them and telling you, they're going to come. They're going to come. Nobody turn up. They're going to make the house burn down then to come.
Ma'am, do you happen to know what the poll number is, or does she know what the poll number is?
I don't know the poll number. She didn't give me the poll number.
Poll number, okay, because if she had, we tried to see if at this end
we could push.
If you could get it and call us back and leave it with our producer, John Stout, and I will see if I can get a message to the folks at the Barbados Light and Power Company. I know because of COVID restrictions in the past, that they had few trucks on the road. Now some of the restrictions have been lifted. Well, you know, sparking poles are a threat, and it's one of the things they should respond to urgently. Yeah, I know. It's a little worrying, I am sure. See if you could get the information and leave it with the producer. I'll see what we can do for you, ma'am. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Hi.
Yes. I just want to make a few points here this morning. Just a few. As we are on the subject of police. This police situation, police have to be constantly retrained in how to deal with citizens, right? I'll give you two examples. I can remember one time on that street where the new court is, police driving a beige Escalade and a cop leaning over, chatting with these people, and I couldn't pass that road. So I opened my mouth and said, listen, if that was me, you would want to report me for doing this. Subsequently, for an extended period of time, whenever I'm on the road, a motorcycle would pull up alongside of me. Maybe have your driver's license and insurance, please. Constantly in Barbados. For just telling them, well, listen, I got to obey the law. So you obeyed it too. You understand? And I was harassed by the police for a long time. I said, well, look, all of my documents are in order and there's nothing that they can find fault. Let them stop me, you know. And I sometimes would make a comment. And I guess that would aggravate them to continue with this behavior. All right. Monday night, I was sitting in my garage. And me and two neighbors, you know, because we don't really go anywhere. We just sit in front of, in his veranda or in my garage, and we will chat and stuff. Police came up with a floodlight, looking on the area, right? They put the light directly in our eyes. I waved at him and said, listen, move that light out of our eyes. He extended the beam and brightened the light in my eyes. You understand? Deliberately, you can tell because you put your hand in the air and tell him, look, move that out of my face. You know? This is what is going on in my country. And there were a number of us sitting in front of the garage. You understand? And I don't appreciate it.
This was during COVID lockdown or after?
This was what's today? Today's Thursday. Monday,
yeah.
This week.
Right, that's the bank holiday.
Yeah. You understand? About 7:30. Now I've got the number of the vehicle and the time. You understand? And I really don't appreciate this because in my area, my area seems to be under surveillance.
I was just about to tell you perhaps
the patrol
was there because there's suspicious activity in your area.
First thing in the morning, during the afternoon, early evening, and then at night, you know. And the citizens don't appreciate this. Let me also tell you something. I think they're getting a kick. When they come in this area in particular, people just run when they see the police. And we ain't talking that people once the police show up in my area, people run.
It's unfortunate that you have that type of situation because policing depends on public cooperation.
Exactly.
In any environment. When you ask people to call 1-800-TIPS or call the nearest police station or, you know, call the police emergency hotline, you're asking citizens to cooperate with you. And therefore, the cooperation has to go both ways, unfortunately. And by the way, I agree with your constant training. The environment in which policemen operate, that has changed too. And I think what has happened, sadly, in metropolitan countries and perhaps even in the Caribbean and certainly locally in Barbados, is that policemen have found themselves caught in a bind of whether I should be the big, tough, bad cop that you run in fear from, or I become the friendly police officer on the block that nobody pays attention to because everybody knows he's friendly. I know of a situation in a Caribbean country where a police officer, senior police officer too, stopped a panel van driven by a Caucasian lady and pushed his head in the window and turned on a flashlight to check to see what's in the back of the panel van. And she wound up the window under his neck and drove off.
Yep.
All right? Now, I am sure if it was perhaps not a Caucasian and not a lady, he might not have stuck his head in the window and turned the flashlight on, because the person might have looked suspicious. Now, why that stuck in my mind, right, is because the action that was taken after that incident with that officer, people said, you know, the police officer then became a little bit more aggressive in his dealing with the public. But that's a normal reaction if you feel your life is being threatened. But the truth is that you can't, I'm trying to say, you can't look at a vehicle and determine that the driver is suspicious because of their height or their size or their complexion or their gender. And if you're going to be patrolling an area because you think it's a hot spot, because you're looking for, you know, activity that you consider suspicious, there are two ways to do it. You could either go in, you know, and have people scatter and run, or you go in and people cooperate with you. You stop, you see what's happening, and you develop a relationship with the neighborhood that you want to bring under control, is what you're trying to reach at. And that's why I support your call for constant retraining, constant engagement, because there are lots of activities that the police need the public support to get them resolved. And if you don't have public support, you ain't going to do it. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get cooperation at all. Yep.
Yeah, one other point I would like to make. The U.S. Embassy is located, Chuck, in a housing area, basically, in the Wildy Terrace.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It is so close that they had to put up a tall wall not to appear to be intruding on the
people around
tenant
them.
Privacy. Right. It is so close. By map, it's just in front, right? Then you go a little ways down, then there's Sheffet.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Why on earth would people permit the most targeted embassy on the planet and put a shot in a housing area, poor people? Does not make any sense. There's no wisdom in that decision. I know the circumstances under which they got, because your organization used to own a piece of land up in there, and a certain individual, politician, you understand,
so,
was involved in
so
transaction.
I smiled when you said that, you know, because they were told that they can't build anything, they got caves.
All right. Understand? Yes, still, all these rules and everything were ignored. But you know, when it comes to the U.S. Embassy, it appears there are different rules at play. Another important thing that is happening.
Maybe they know how to build on caves. And have bunkers too. Sorry, I couldn't miss that one.
The night sky in Barbados is saturated with drones. And particularly, one very large one, people claim it's too big to be a drone, it may be a satellite, by the American Embassy. And we all know, wherever the Americans are, they gather intelligence. And this is an invasion of our privacy as citizens of a nation. And it's downright disrespectful. You understand? You got these things in the sky at night. You understand? You can tell whatever's going on in every house, because they have that technology. Don't let us get mixed up about that. And I'm calling on the government of Barbados to deal with this issue, because nowhere in the world I don't believe that they can come and put a targeted embassy, or used to be a targeted embassy, and put it among the people. Where is the wisdom in that decision?
Because Barbados is a safe environment where we don't attack embassies and burn flags. And
it don't have to be us.
Toss.
It will not be us.
Yeah, that too.
It will be others.
That is a consideration. That is a consideration. We did have the Cubano to remind us.
Oh, all right, then. You know, so I just want to make, I wanted to make those few points. You know, these are very important issues, and there are lots of things we are overlooking in this nation. You understand? Because you can go into any library in the USA and go on a computer, pull up Barbados, and it can tell you, don't come in with the, don't go in the IV, don't go in Black Rock, because of this and that going on.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
And here is, and the funny thing is, you know, tourists are safe in these places. So, I'm not saying there wouldn't be the odd situation where, you know, where tourists might get
somebody,
attacked by
somebody,
by
may, somebody may, somebody may have you.
Yeah. You understand?
Yeah.
But we have been blackballed in the United States when it comes to coming to Barbados. This impacts our tourism.
So it does, and it is unfortunate that areas are singled out as hot spots, and then you find that they're used as a wedge, a weapon. And as you say, it may be the safest areas for them to be. I thank you for your contribution. So it certainly was a thought-provoking one. Perhaps we should point out to those who say don't go into those areas that the U.S. Embassy sits smack in the middle of it and does so quite comfortably. I've been told that the poll number is NDG269. That poll that's sparking, the number is NDG269. I've said it out loud so the monitoring team can pass it on to Jackie and the team at Light and Power. I'll try to get a direct message to them as well. Thank you very much for the cooperation. We have the lunchtime edition coming up. Let me just quickly read this WhatsApp message that said, listening to hear all these persons being repatriated to Barbados, going into quarantine, I must ask, is there enough room for all 66 more en route tomorrow? Well, according to the information I have read, Harrison Point, for those who need to be isolated, Paragon has been chosen by some of those who are just quarantined, and those who want to pay their way while they're being quarantined, there's several empty hotels in Barbados, and they can be used. They're up to 6,000 beds, apparently, at hotels in Barbados. 6,000 was the last count from the BHTA. So they can also be quarantined at hotels. There ain't no visitors in them right now. So they do not, however, will have room service, apparently, and various other things. They have to provide for themselves, and they'll have to pay their way now. How they provide for themselves? Well, safe distancing and things being, people will have to bring packages and leave it in a safe place where they will collect it and so on. But they will not be allowed to mingle or lying by the pool or the bar and have drinks. They're not on vacation. 4341-790-266-4862 or brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. The ways you may reach us on this Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon, Sandra and the team. Working really hard, providing sustenance for those of us who depend on people to provide us with sustenance. The gentleman who patronizes your place should now weigh about 500 pounds because he says nice things about you. Let me put it that way. So I trust his judgment. So I'm telling you good afternoon. I hope you have a pleasant afternoon and that you stay safe along with those who work so hard with you. Sandra is a good name. I know several very nice persons with that name. John Stout nods, although his name is John. He's taking care of things technical. I'm your host, and we go until 2 this afternoon. Someone said, no free beds, no money, no self-quarantine, and send them back. Send them back to where? The person really... Nobody has money. How are they going to pay their way if their land and all free beds are taken? I want to know if I can do a self-quarantine. The persons returning to Barbados are Barbadian. As far as I know, unless you are persona non grata, the country of your passport is supposed to let you in. There is ample room in Barbados for people who return to Barbados to be quarantined. As I said, the hotels are at the moment empty, unfortunately, and persons who wish to use the hotels, once they pay, we can do so. There is Harrison's Point that has been redeveloped for those who need to be isolated because they have tested positive or for some other reason. And for those who just wish to be quarantined, there is Paragon. This behavior about who should be deported, you can't deport a Barbadian back. I don't know, deport them to where? People send you back to your place of origin. It's a sad way to look at your fellow nationals. It is unfortunate, and I made this point before, and I'm sorry that I have to do it again. It is unfortunate that we are taking the same line with COVID-19 that we took with the HIV/AIDS pandemic. And that money had to be spent, well, of course, supported by the various agencies or the individuals with money who wanted to support the AIDS Foundation to work against stigma and discrimination. And very early on in the piece, I asked if we'd have to do the same thing about this as well, where after we loosened the grips and after we tried to resuscitate the economy, what a friend of mine in the North said was happening, where people of a certain color, people were shying away from them because they believed they were visitors and would bring the virus. Now we have Barbadians among us who we want to throw out because we think they're bringing the virus with them. Someone asked, why is the newscaster referring to the action in the U.S. as riots? They're protests, not riots, which imply totally disorderly conduct. Presume it's because it was taken off of something that was described as a riot, so it was simply transcribed. And someone else has sent me the piece from the Attorney General. Let me see if I got the figure right. A small protest next to the U.S. Embassy, only 10 people in masks. That's correct, I said 10, armed with hand sanitizers. My memory served me correct. Thank you very much for sending me the piece from Barbados City that confirms that's 10 people. Someone asked me again about the news. Sorry, I can't answer that one. 434-1790, 434-1791. 434-1771. I was looking for a WhatsApp message that talked about a water problem that I wanted to bring. There it is. Messaging from Shubin and St. John. 2 days we haven't had water. Community water tanks are empty. Use your station's good services to see if you can get some help from us. They've reminded me that water is essential. And that's what I have to share with you. And the person who wants the people sent back has asked me again, if all the free beds are taken, I have no money to pay a hotel, what then? I don't know what is a free bed. And I presume you will be put into isolation. Or you will be put into quarantine somewhere where you will be quarantined. You will not be allowed to go home and self-quarantine because that has not worked in the past. I am not the best person to ask those questions. You need to call COVID hotline or you need to speak to the people in health. This is for the health and well-being of the nation and you. I would suggest that you have a more conciliatory tone rather than, you know, so what next if I don't? It's not going to help. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
I was one of those people who came in from Canada. I was 16. Mm-hmm. I was taken to Paragon.
Mm-hmm.
I call this morning to say a big, big thank you to doctors and nurses. We were well treated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything was well with us, and I so appreciate the service that they give us. And I just want to say thank you once more.
What was the experience like?
You and me coming from off the plane, we were taken straight to buses.
The plane.
Mm-hmm. And
you went through. You went through the special entrance.
We were on the tarmac.
Mm-hmm. And the buses met you on the tarmac.
Yes, please. Mm-hmm. We got our luggage, went straight onto the buses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the wait on the plane was a bit long, but you know, the people have to do what they have to do.
They have to get you, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, started out, got in the plane, and they were so accommodating. You know, they touched me, Mr. Johnson. After staying in Canada for almost 3 months, you know, and paid two air tickets to get home, the council won, and then it kind of canceled, but then about 4 o'clock the afternoon, they called us and called my daughter, tell her about the flight on. For the other day, which is the 16th, I had a rush. But I mean, it was the nurses and the doctors. They were so pleasant. You know that Mr. Johnson, I don't know what other people would think, but for me and the girls that were there, we had a grand time. All we did was eat, sleep, bed.
Did you mingle?
But we got our test done.
Mm-hmm.
We had our mask on. Then we got back the results. That, you know, everybody's negative.
Negative, right.
You still have to keep this 6 feet distance from, you know, you're tall in your room, but you still have to be mindful of, it's still a 6 feet something. Despite everybody was negative. But it was great.
The reason why I'm asking you this, right, is because you've been through the experience, and you sounded like that it was not a nerve-wracking one. The reason why I'm asking this is because when I've read some of the reports that I've read, for example, people saying that they weren't allowed to be with their family, that they were in rooms by themselves, and they made it seem as though they were almost in prison.
No, they're
which is why I am asking this, and because if you read a report, and as I said, I read, and when you read a report that says, We didn't get our meals until late. Breakfast was cold. We were locked in our rooms, or we had to stay in our rooms. My family and I were quarantined, but we were each in a separate room. And these were people who stayed at a hotel, right? Right. So that's why I made the comment before the break that, you know, you're not going in line by the pool and sit down by the bar. You are in quarantine.
There were two female sections, and some ladies had left, so we got the microwave. But we could have warmed our food as we pleased. We had our food on 3 square meals a day.
They gave you food? You were Paragon, right?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Mm-hmm.
My children bought things for me, but you spray the bags when you get them out, and when you bring them back in.
Mm-hmm.
And nurses were coming, how are y'all ladies, and talk to us, and we had a grand time. I was like, you know, in a hotel. It was tremendously well. So I don't know about other people, but in our partner, we were treated well.
Ma'am, so I am. How many of you were there?
Well, I tell you about, for the women, I think it was about 14 to 15 women.
Mm-hmm.
But some came after us. I think it was 16 of us. Maybe 13 of us in the room. Let me say 13. But it was a big house, and the base were apart, but had a grand time. Had a grand time. I told my daughter, there's no already Miss Pardon, though.
What, the free food or the...
and the sleeping and putting on
the people. Yeah, they were putting on it. Well,
yeah, I put on it. But it was nice. And then every time that you like what to cook, But it's not like with a cut down, your family will rest on
your family. Your family will rest
on your family. Somebody don't eat sardine, somebody don't eat this or that. But I don't eat sardine, but I had things stashed that I can, you know, I can handle myself. So it was tremendous. Thanks to the government, whoever's in charge. Kudos to y'all.
Ma'am, I thank you very much for sharing your experience with us because, as I said, the only way you can find out what happens there is if you're actually there and you were there. And yeah, correct. I didn't know you knew that one.
Thank you,
thank you as well, ma'am. It's good to hear from you. And good to know you're back home and feeling good about it.
Thanks so much.
Pleasure, ma'am. Pleasure. Good to hear from you. 4341790 Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Blessed afternoon, Mr. Johnston.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
All the best to you.
And thank you,
and
too.
All the listeners abroad and everywhere. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad to hear from that lady because a lot of people seem to think that the quarantine is like a death sentence. And if you are afraid, no matter what you're experiencing in this life, it's been up my, I've proven that fear can kill you before the actual disease you think you have or whatever. So it's good to hear that, you know, they were really taken care of and showing respect in spite of. Mm-hmm. And we pray that that will continue even for those who actually have the virus. And I know that the nurses and doctors are professional and, you know, most of them will be good and kind. So I'm glad to hear her. I don't have no connection with anyone as yet, and I hope I don't, but it is really a soothing feeling to hear her speaking about, you know, the experience. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are asking, but these, I can't time the joy for a case. But these people are writing for, they got the policemen's already. What they don't behave themselves, this thing and this thing and this thing. But I see this situation as a culmination of, which many people know, especially historians, that a culmination of long, long, long standing discrimination and everything. And as we all know, for hundreds of years, this thing has been going on. But this is, I see this as revelation time. We know it, but we see it now. Right? And I hope that person would appreciate, especially those who are not of the colored class, of the colored hue. They would understand that we are human beings as well, and there's only so much that people can take. And I'm praying for the best, of course. I'm praying for that. I have some relatives and everything over there. I'm praying. Grandchildren and everything, and I'm praying that everything will work out, but it has to go further than this now. The legislatures, they need to get together and really dig in now and not let this be a bypass like the previous time. And I'm hoping to hear the leaders of the world condemn what is going on and go further than condemning, but putting things in place so that we cannot really control every human being. But if the laws are there, they should be obeyed. And as much as should be prosecuted for disobeying those laws against others, they should do that. So I heard a quote speaking about it. He touched on it a little bit, which I figure he should have gone a little further. The Queen, every prime minister and president of every country, because every country needs reform. Don't want to be fooled. We said America might be more blatant, but every country needs reform.
But what would make them? What would make them want to reform?
I think you know the question. I think you know the answer.
No, I don't know the answer.
What?
That's why I asked the question.
What? well, what demonstrating? I don't mean rioting. And
you think that would make them want to reform?
Listen.
What
I heard when the activist said that July 15th, there's going to be a blackout on shopping in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
That is an action similar to when Martin Luther King, people refused to catch the bus for a whole year. I mean, there are different things you can do.
Okay, well, let me bring this home a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are people who identify with the problem. There are people mm-hmm. who identify with the crisis. Mm-hmm. And there are people who urgently, or sometimes not so urgently, would say, yes, I agree there should be change. Mm-hmm. But what happens thereafter? In other words, what would make your political directorate or your fellow man want to change is one of the things that, unfortunately, my experiences perhaps have made me more has made me more cynical. Okay, let me tell you a recent one. Recently here in Barbados, we had an incident where a gentleman was dismissed. His case was in the newspaper. It went to the CCJ. People said all, pros and cons of it. What was just, what was unjust. Nobody said take action against the establishment because we don't think he was treated fairly. Because that's not in the psyche of Barbadians to do that kind of thing. Nobody said, let's come out on the streets and protest the fact that a man was dismissed. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We've had cases in Barbados where people have marched and people have asked why they're marching. Some see it as political, some see it as, different things. There is a movement in the world for change. We had what we call the Arab Spring, where people went onto the streets and marched and, asked for political change. We have segregation in the United States, marches going back to the 1960s and continuing into 2020. These marches have spread to various places in the world, Africa, the United Kingdom, Canada. But then, after a period of time, whether presidents, whomever signed contracts, say, yes, we'll change, they revert to the same thing all over again. Because somewhere the links get broken, somewhere people get complacent, somewhere those who march get old and tired. Whatever happens, it hasn't changed the way we see each other and the way we react to each other based on color, creed, ethnicity, what you have and what I don't have, seems to come back up time and time and time again. And
because
we keep fighting the same battles. I know you said it's written in the word and that's what's supposed to happen. And which is why I'm trying to find out why you think it will change if you know that that's what's written in the word. There was a gentleman who said to me earlier, also quoting scripture, that, you have to go along, things will be better. But when I look at scripture, most of the people who were blessed and highly favored didn't have an easy life. Mary had a child out of wedlock. Woman at the well was going to get stoned. Jonah was in the belly of the whale.
Mrs. Johnson,
people have always had challenges.
We have to persist. If we like, if we forget, if we not to keep things to hit, but we have, just like the sunrise every morning, we have to keep at it. If we say, okay, I ain't bothering with that, that is really changed, we're not. Continue. Jesus Christ came out of all the trials and the tribulations of the children of Israel. If you go back, you will see that he had relatives that were not so good. He had his grandmother. He didn't come out of perfect people, but yet he came, which is saying to us that we can get positive, we can get love, we can get good out of every situation.
I don't disagree with that. What I'm saying is the challenge I have is that once we move one step forward, we seem to believe, okay, we have achieved what we want to achieve. We could relax now. And then things go back to being the way they were. We just don't do what you just said, which is we keep pressing forward. We don't.
We have to. Because, you see, this is, as I said when I began, this is a culmination of all the things that have gone before hundreds of years ago. Right? And God is in the midst of this, Don't be fooled, he said. The old people say the chickens have come home to roost. Even us, But we also, I'm speaking about humanity, and I'm speaking about mankind, not just the white man, black man, brown man, because there are people in India who don't have all the rights as an Indian citizen, although they're Indian.
Correct.
So don't want to be fooled with
China's
that.
China too, which is why I mentioned Tiananmen
this
Square. Oppression is worldwide.
Yes.
White on white races, black on white.
Ours, though, the black man, he is ridiculed by all races. And we have to stand our ground as people and have our, I don't like to use the word pride, but it is pride as a human being. Because the Bible says God breathed the breath of life into the man when he created him, right? And he took the woman from the man. The man is first. And the man is to be respected as a human being. Don't care who he is. But somehow, things got twisted. And therefore, the black man is seen as the man for everybody to stand upon. So when these people, and I'm speaking to everybody, whatever, this Asian, totally disrespected President Barack, when he was in power, totally telling him to go back to Africa and all kinds of things. And go back to the jungle. So let us be clear that this disrespect need to stop. And it would only stop. I'm not saying everybody will have that spirit, but it will stop when people teach their children that every human being matters. And not only black lives, but every human being matters. But if we zoom in on the black life, right? And stop telling the children that their hair is better, that their color is better, that they're a young woman going for a job and she has her hair in dreadlocks, but they style up and looking really nice, you got to cut off that and straighten it. I mean, all of these things that people go through. What happened to a good friend of mine, beautiful long locks this girl had, and she's very fussy, and she used to go out looking smashing. One day she was told, you have to cut off that hair. You understand? And she's not my daughter, but I was so angry. So these are things that need to stop, and we have to dig in and stand our ground and see that they are stopped. But I'm going back to the Word of God, because it starts with Him. Our life starts with Him. Every life starts with Him. Every life goes back to Him. And if we do not respect each other as human beings on this earth, worse will be to come. And it will be our fault. I'm not saying God is doing this, because He has already warned us. With prophets, He has warned us what can happen. We are seeing a lot of what can happen now. So I thank you for hearing me.
Always good to hear you, ma'am.